It would help you to have your Bibles open at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want us to continue our studies in this passage. And we're going to look this morning in particular at Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through to 18. I'll just read them because they weren't our reading this morning. I read that passage from Corinthians because, in a way, it shows another example of Paul going through situations that he may not have chosen to go through in his life. So Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. We come to this passage of Scripture, and those of you who worship with us regularly will know that this is the fifth week now. I've been preaching through this letter of Paul. And when we take this approach to preaching, where we start at the beginning of a book and we work our way through, there are passages that are not always easy to deal with. And this is one of those passages this morning. It's a passage that is purely descriptive. Paul is telling us what is going on in his life. There are no exhortations. He isn't saying to them, I want you to do this. There's no great statement of doctrine. I want you to understand this new truth. So what are we to learn from this? Because the facts are that not all of us will face imprisonment as Paul was facing at this time. Not all of us will be preachers of the gospel. And not all of us will face the same trials that he faces. So what are we to learn? Well, I want to suggest at the very outset, what we need to do is to stand back, to look at what Paul is saying, to understand the sufferings that he's going through, and then to realize how his faith actually helps him to use the experience and to see that God is in fact at work, and as a result of God being at work, even though Paul is suffering, he is able to finish this section by saying, I rejoice. He rejoices even though he is suffering. We have a man whose faith helps him here on earth. It's not simply a ticket to heaven. It's not simply something that he is going to enjoy when he dies. His faith helps him as he lives here on earth. And I've struggled with this during the week, but it was towards the end of the week that I began to realize that there is a significance, there's an incredibly relevant significance to what we read here. Friday, the world was shattered by the news of this horrendous earthquake and the tsunami that followed the earthquake. And when I've seen footage of this, I have been absolutely amazed by the power of the sea and by the destruction that has taken place. Similarly, in our prayer meeting on Wednesday, and I made reference to it this morning, I'm not going to be able to go into details because what I'm saying, as you know, goes on the internet. But a friend of ours who has been working in another country, he has been there with a teaching ministry where he goes in for a few weeks and then he comes out. He's been doing this for a number of years, and suddenly this week we get an email to say he has to leave. And just last night I had a further email from him, and he says this: a Judas in the class betrayed us because his attempt to take over leadership of the class was rejected by the students. These things happen, and we say, Lord, why do they happen? Why do we see these things happening? Well, that isn't the question that I want to ask this morning. The question that I want to ask this morning in this message is, do you have a faith that supports you in the trials of life? Do you have a faith that supports you in the trials of life? It may be health problems. It may be opposition that our friend is facing in his current situation. It may be delays in your plans. We had hoped that we would be able to do this, but all of us face many and varied issues. Paul is able to say, I rejoice. Later on, we know that he says, for me to live is Christ. And towards the end of the letter, he is able to say, I have learnt in whatever state I am to be content. Can we say that? Does our faith help us to cope? Let's begin by looking at Paul's position. He is actually confident in confinement. He is confined, probably under house arrest, or it's also possible that he is in a Roman garrison of some description. But wherever he is, he is in prison. He isn't able to get out and to be preaching as he normally has. And this short passage tells us, well, Paul's in prison. He's got friends who, when they heard that he'd been arrested, thought, oh, if this has happened to Paul, what is going to happen to us? If this has happened to a great preacher like him, what is going to happen to the work of the church? And they become discouraged. But as he has talked with them, so they've learned to be encouraged, and they've been able to see the good in the problems that they are currently facing. But alongside his friends who are encouraged, he has rivals within the church. And that's why I read the passage that I did from 2 Corinthians. Because Paul is there dealing with people who say, Paul? Who is he? He's nobody. He's an apostle. But we are super apostles. We have got more than he has got. And Paul, facing that, describes what he has gone through in life. And he has faced incredible sufferings, shipwrecks, imprisonment, beatings, and much denial. He's known hunger and thirst. And this is the situation in which he finds himself. And this whole thing of rivalry within Christianity, it didn't just happen in the first century. I was at the college this week, and a young man was telling me that he'd been in the open air. And he'd actually been preaching. And there was this group that infiltrated the small crowd that was listening to him preaching. And they started giving out Christian literature. In fact, they engaged his wife in conversation. And this person who engaged his wife in conversation was saying, these guys, they're out of date. You know, the message that they have got, their form of Christianity, is not enjoyable. Come and join us. because we have got modern worship and our form of Christianity is relevant. Well, she heard him for a little while and then she turned to him and said, well, I find what is being preached here today totally relevant. And by the way, the man preaching is my husband. But she was able to say, to cope with the rivalry. And it's an example of the rivalry that has always gone on, sadly, within Christianity. A true mark of Christianity is humility, where we are prepared to say that we are nothing in and of ourselves. Paul is in prison. Paul is not able to do the thing that he is most qualified to do, which is to preach the gospel. Now, you may not be a preacher. You may not be what we recognize as a Christian worker. But you have your plans. How do you cope when those plans are frustrated? How do you cope when your health is such that you can't do all that you once did? It was once said to me by a friend. He said, I realize I'm getting old now, because when I bend down to do up my shoelaces, I think, what else can I do when I'm down here? And we face situations like that in life, don't we? We think, it's not like it used to be. Friends, does your faith help you as you grow old? Because Paul, he was restricted by prison. We may be restricted by other things. It's easy to become angry. It's easy to become frustrated. I wanted it like this. Or for us to turn round and say, why does God allow this to happen to me? But Paul, in prison, has learnt that God is in prison with him and is in fact able to use every circumstance. He says there in verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. He isn't able to preach publicly, but every new guard that comes to look after him, he speaks to him about his faith. He explains why he is there. Friends, I cannot tell you why certain things happen. I cannot explain the tsunami. I cannot explain sudden death. But I can say to you that God is still on the throne. Romans 8 says to us, for we know that in all things God works together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purposes. With Joseph, I can say from Genesis, you meant to harm me, but God meant it for good. Paul was in prison. Paul was confined, and yet he knew that God was with him. So we've got Paul, his confidence in his confinement. Now I want us to see him coping with conflicts. And I've described here how there was this conflict with his enemies. There was this conflict with his friends. And how did Paul cope with these things? The church has always had division. The church has always had differences of opinion. How do we cope with them? Well, we could do what a lot of people do. We could enter into huge theological debates. And it is important that we understand exactly what we believe and why we believe it. We could actually line our enemies up, or people with differences of opinion, and we could pick them off one by one and say, look, you're not right, and you're wrong because of this, this, and this. Or we could do what Paul does here in verses 15 through to 17. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And Paul is saying, these people may not fully agree with me, I may not fully agree with them, but they are preaching Christ, and I'm not going to attack them. I am going to take the opportunities that God gives to me. The Lord Jesus Christ was one day asked by his disciples, what about these people who seem to be working miracles, but they're not a part of us? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, for the one who is not against us is for us. And how does Paul cope with conflict? He says, well, what are these people doing? They may not be lifting up the Apostle Paul. They may not be lifting up the Evangelical Movement of Wales or the Associating Evangelical Churches of Wales, but they are lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is not concerned about his personal prestige. He isn't concerned that he gets the glory. No, he says, for me to live is Christ. And here he is saying, if Christ is preached, even by people that I am not happy with, I rejoice because Christ is being lifted up. So Paul coped with his confinement. He coped with conflict. Why was he able to do this? What was it that helped Paul to cope? What is it that will help us to cope when we face issues in life that we don't understand and that we don't want to happen? Well, Paul is confident in the gospel, or he is compelled by the gospel. The priority of Paul's life is that Christ is preached. These verses that we've read here are an example where Paul gets excited about something and his words just overflow. And in a way, he keeps repeating himself. Look down through these verses. We see there in verse 12, he talks about the advance of the gospel. Down in verse 14, he talks about people speaking the word. In verse 15, he talks about people preaching Christ. In verse 16, he talks about the defense of the gospel. In verse 17, he talks about proclaiming Christ. And then in verse 18, he says, Christ is proclaimed. What is Paul talking about? He is talking about exactly the same thing, but he's talking about it from different angles. He is talking about the essence of Christianity. Paul is driven by one message. That is the gospel. Or it might be described as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They are to preach Christ. Mark says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is good news. What good news? It is the good news about Jesus Christ. Friends, the only way that you will cope with the huge disasters of life that we've heard about this week, or the day-by-day difficulties of your life, is knowing that your life is secure in Christ. Paul summarizes this in some situations here. He's falling over himself with different descriptions. But in a letter that he wrote to a young pastor, he says this: "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." That is the gospel, friends. The gospel is not you have failed and therefore God is going to judge you. The gospel is not try hard and reach the standard, and if you reach the standard, God will save you. No, that's not good news. That is condemning, because all of us fail to reach the standard. No, Paul wants everybody to hear the gospel. He's one of these people, and no matter what conversation you have with him, he brings it back to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was saying earlier, as each new guard came in, he would have started a conversation with them, and it wouldn't have been long before he was saying to them, "Well, actually, I'm here because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." What do you mean, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? What does that mean? Well, it means that God was so concerned for humanity that he didn't leave them to work things out for themselves. He knew that humanity should be judged under the power and the authority and the justice of God. And he didn't want that to happen, because God is love, God is merciful, God is gracious. And therefore, he sent his Son. He didn't come in all the glory of heaven. He came as a baby. So insignificant, so weak. Why did he come as a baby? So that he might grow up as a human being, like any of us. He might face the trials that we face. As a baby, probably less than two, he was driven into exile. He lived as an asylum seeker. He understood. He knew what it was to have calloused hands as he worked in a carpenter's shop. He knew what it was to do good and for people to say, "You're a hypocrite. You're doing it in the power of Satan." The Lord Jesus Christ understands everything that we go through, because he came into this world and he was tempted like we are tempted. You say, "Oh, but Bernard, he couldn't have had my temptation." Yes, he could have. Yes, he could have. He understands. And Paul is saying, "I want to preach Christ. I want people to understand that God cares so much that he lived among us." But you know, every time he was tempted, he didn't fall. Every time Satan came to him, he prayed. He asked for God's help. And he won the victory. So that when it came to the end of his life, and he wasn't 60, he wasn't 70, 80 or 90, as many of us are. He was 33, a young man. And people were accusing him. And he said to them, he looked them in the eye, and he said, "Which of you can accuse me of sin and prove it?" And none of them could. None of them could say, "You have failed." And because he had no sin, he didn't deserve to die. So why did he die? He died in the place of other people. He didn't die as an example. He died as a substitute. He didn't die as a martyr, fighting for a cause and defeated by the opposition. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect, without sin, did not deserve the justice of God. But he died for other people. that they might have peace with God. Friends, do you have peace with God this morning? If you were in Japan today, you'd lost your home and your family, would your faith sustain you through it? If you were like my friend who has had to leave service in another country, would your faith be a strength to you? Would you be like some, even in this congregation, who are facing trials of health, uncertainty, of employment, and yet they are sustained by God? Paul said, I want people to know this message. Now, Paul, like myself, was a public preacher. But Paul wasn't frustrated because he wasn't able to stand up and publicly preach. He uses a number of words in these passages. In verse 14, he talks about speaking the word. And there, it is just getting into conversation. Friends, I am not the only witness in this church. Every believer is. You can speak the word as you talk with other people, and you can simply chat with them over a cup of tea, or in the marketplace, in the supermarket. That is what Paul is talking about there in verse 14. Verses 15 and 16, when he's talking about proclaiming, he is talking about public preaching. But you see, it's not all about standing in a pulpit. That's important. But friends, you have got doors that are open to you that I could never walk through. And that is what Paul is arguing here. He is saying, things have gone wrong for me, but God is able to use it. I can't preach publicly, but I can talk to people. My friends are afraid to go out and hold open air services, but they can talk with individuals. And these people, they're wanting to have a go at me, but they are, in fact, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, I rejoice. Paul's faith helps him in prison. And when he can't preach as he wants to, he is sustained knowing that he has talked with people. So, as I draw this message to a close this morning, I want to ask again, do you have a faith that supports you in the trials of life? Later in this letter, Paul says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Paul gives us a great example. His life is in Christ. Friends, you will never cope with death. You will never fully cope with the problems of this life outside of Christ. Let me ask you, does your Christianity give you peace in all the problems? Can you have peace when other people are attacking you and belittling you? Those of you who are involved in Christian service, even within our own church, what is your motive? Is your motive really that Christ is glorified? Or is it that people see more of you? There's only one thing that causes Paul to fully rejoice, and that people that Christ is preached. People understand and people believe. In a way, I can thank you for your politeness this morning as you've listened to me. But that's not enough. If you don't believe what I have preached this morning, then you will never face life like Paul faced it. Is your trust in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.